Okay, good morning. This past week, that daf was daf Yud in Maseches Chagiga. Let's start from the Mishnah on daf Yud. The Mishnah says as follows: Het nedom polchem ba'avim, ve'ein lohem ma sheyismuchum. The concept of het nedom. Het nedom is the idea of Shelas Chochom. You know, as far as to be matter on neder, there's two ways. The Torah speaks explicitly about hafara of an av, a father to the nedarim of his daughter, a husband. Situations, maybe there's a shutfis in that by an arusam. That's referred to haforas nedarim. But what we're talking about over here is heter nedarim. This is heter chochom, which is either done through a yochin mumcha or shloisha hedyotes. This is what that Torah nedarim that we have on Erev Rosh Hashanah is this idea over here. The Mishnah says that heter nedarim is porchim ba'avim. The basis, or maybe a source in the Torah is Poruchim Ba'avim. Ve'ein lahem amashi yismuchu. It would sound like from the Mishnah, and that's from the Hemshech HaGemara. It sounds like that there is Poruchim Ba'avim. There is no source in the Torah itself, and the source is Torah Shebal Peh, and that's what that would refer to. There's nothing that we could rely on. Okay, we'll see about that in a minute. The Mishnah says, Hilcha Shabbos Chagiga Samil, Haring Haharor Matulim B'Sayru. Over here, the Mishnah referring to halachas, we'll see in the Gemara, but this refers to specific halachas of Shabbos. The concept of Shabbos is very, very explicit, as the Gemara asks. Specific halachas in Shabbos, chagigas, and meilas, harehim karor matulim b'sayru. Rashi learns, shehim mikra muot v'halachas merubas is an explanation of the Haron Plum Besaira, a mountain which is held by a hear. Now this also refers to the Shehem Mikrim of Halachas Merubos, that the source is Mikrim Muat. So the Mashmosa of the mission is, the Mura has two different expressions over here, so it would sound like there's two different levels of the source. Nedarim, that's Poruchim Ba'avim. That's the Mishnah Mashma. There's nothing there. Right, we'll see exactly what that means, Lamaisa. And this second group is a lighter source. But it would sound like that you have the Sire. It's Haron, that's Tulum B'Sire. But there is a slight source. Hadin v'avodas hataris v'tzmeis rayis yesh lahem amashi yismuchu. This group over here, yesh lahem amashi yismuchu. This, the different sources in the Torah for these dinim. V'hein hen gufei Torah, like we'll see in the Gemara. V'hein gufei Torah. Let's see the Rashi on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, het in the dorm, Porchim ba'avim, hataras nedarim shum chachomim, shehachochom maters haneder. The idea, Chazal tell us that there's a concept of a chochom being mater neder. Ma remez yesh b'mikra. There's a slight, small hint in the pasuk, ve'ein ma lismoich. It's not something that we could rely on. which l'chara means that we wouldn't be able to derive it from there. El shekein mos l'chacham v'toshu b'al peh. This is given toshu b'al peh. This is halacha l'mashma Sinai. That's what that means. I mean, it is interesting that the Mishnah, you know, expresses this specifically. There are many halachos mishum sinai, right? Why are we expressing specifically this in that way? Let's see Rashi further. Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Chagiga, Hilchos Me'ilas, Yesh Bohen Halachos Shehen Tluyes Beremez. Within these halachas, right? That's what Rashi is explaining over in the Gemara. So we're not referring to the whole concept. So when the Mishnah starts, Mishnah speaks about something specific. Heter Nedarim, right? We're not talking Parshas Nedarim. Parshas Nedarim is the entire idea is explicitly in the Torah. It's something specific. But in this second part of the Mishnah sounds like it's talking general. Right? So as the Gemara tells us that we're really referring also to specific halachas. Yesh ben halachas agrashi shehen tluyis beremez mikra muat. It's a remez in a small remez in the pasuk. Karam tluyim besaras rosh. What kind of sarashi tells us saras rosh? Right. So I don't know what the other option is. And like, why would it make a difference? Like, you know, maybe the different parts of, you know, ears and different parts of the body. Like, you know, what? Yeah. Okay. Voha avoides hilchas avoides korban. Avoides over here refers to the different halachas, the procedure of the avoides korban. Arise, ervo. Fine, that's the Gemara. Let's see. Zot the Gemara, right? This is going on the first part of the mission, which says the Heter Nedarim Aparochim Ba'aver Ve'ein Lehem Amashi Yismuchu. Zot the Gemara Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer Yesh Lehem Amashi Yismuchu. So the Gemara of Kipshut, they sound like that Rabbi Elazar is arguing, right? The Tanya of our mission says Ve'ein Lehem Amashi Yismuchu, and Rabbi Elazar is producing some kind of source, some kind of smicha. Shenema, kiyafli kiyafli shtei pomim. The pasuk, two different parashas, we'll see. It says kiyafli twice. Achas aflo lis, v'achas aflo leheter. This is a source. The kiyafli is a kiyafli, which refers to a flaw of heter, and that's zokter blazer. That refers to the heter of the heter chacham, the Torah's neder. Let's see Rashi. Zok Rashi kiyafu shtei pomim. What's the shtei pomim? What are the two times? Echad be'echem ve'echad benozim. That's really in two different parashas, two different topics concerning. There's some types of nedarim. Right? We have erichin, which is a certain set value, a value system that the Torah itself establishes. Different ages, different value. Person which says, a person obligates himself that has the din of a nether. In the parish of Erechim Ve'echad Benozer, that's the din of a Nozer, a person who could accept upon himself to become a Nozer, and then he has all the halachas of Nazirus. So the Pasuk says an expression of Yafli in both of these parishes. Ki Yafli Neder Be'echad, that's in parish of Erechim, that's what it says in that Pasuk, Ki Yafli Neder. And by Nozer it says, Ki Yafli Linda Neder Nozer. Achas aflo le iser. Rashi says as follows: Kule aflo loshen pirush. whenever the pasuk refers to uses the term hafla, it's pirish. Pirish is, we'll see, this is used in different forms, but it's some kind of clear expression. Expression with clarity. Kitagumoi. Arei yeforish. That's what the Targum says. Person expresses explicitly. V'loma kosa haflo b'shnehem. Says Rabbi Lezer, why is it necessary to say it by both? Achas kishapir shenoda v'osa atzme b'nedim. So one is coming to tell me the basic halacha as far as making the net in the first place, right? Making the prohibition. That it's done in a way of haflo. And one is referring to, Mora says, is leheter. This would be a mashmois. It is a second form of haflo. The second form of haflo is on the contrary, right? When one creates the iser and one undoes the iser. V'achas shechoyzer mefarish lefnei achochem v'oimer kein ledarti. Well, that's kein ledarti. Well, that's kein loy ledarti. Tells the chochem that I made a neder, but the neder that I made was with the following understanding, how it will bind me. That's kein ledarti, right? With such and such in mind, after that's kein ledarti. But for the following situation, which presented itself, loy nodarti. Varehu bal ide charata. And that way, this what the person is doing over there that he's regretting. Umitoch kach bal ide heter. Right? This Rashi says that the basis of the heter, the heter dorm, has to do with some degree of charata. The neder that he made was without an exclusion, so the neder itself would have encompassed all situations, and the idea of heter dorm has to do with a charata, the fact that he's regretting saying something without realizing that what he did was it included something that he really didn't have in mind, didn't have intention to limit himself on a new situation arose or whatever exactly the reason why the initial net that he made, now he has second thoughts about that. Usually what that means is that, referring to initially, he didn't take that into account. If there was just a change of mind now, that wouldn't be sufficient. The charata we're talking about is that, you know, initially, right? So you know, even if a person, you know, makes a neder on something and he first realized how difficult it is, that means that initially he didn't think it would be so difficult for him. It wouldn't be so restricting for him. That could also possibly be a basis for the heter, or else a new situation occurs. So that's the Gemara says, that's the kiafli. Now the Gemara says there's a yafli to create the iser and another yafli, which the Gemara understands that it's talking to the neder. The neder was made already, so what's the kiyafli? What's the second kiyafli? It's something which could undo the neder. That's the source. That's the source that the Gemara is producing. And the mashmoy, like we're saying, it is. Sounds like he's saying yesh lahem amash yismechu. The Mishnah, Tana, the Mishnah seems to say there's no basis at all. I'm not going to find any remez in the Torah. And Reb Lezer says, Akoponim, there is Mashi Yismuchu. Now, to what degree, he means, we have in our Mishnah, we have a few different levels. Right? level number one in our mission is Porucha Ma'avir. Sounds like there's no Ein Hamash Yismichu. The second level is Harorim Hapulim B'Sayra. The third level, the Gemara uses that Nusuch of Yesh Lehem Hamash Yismichu. Right, so as far as the Lashonis of the Mishnah, it would sound like he's saying that this is a proper basis, not just looking for a remez, a real source. Let's see a little further. Just raising a point now, and we'll see about this. Rabbi Shua may yesh lama mashi yismichu shenem ashen ishbati bi'api. Rabbi Shua produces another source. That is not a pasuk in the Torah. Shenem ashen ishbati bi'api. Rabbi Shlom says that nishbati, I made a shua ba'api. Zok the Gemara, ba'api nishbati v'chazarti bi. That because, what is the importance of the reference of ba'api, nishbati ba'api? Why is that mentioned? So the Yeshua is saying, because the point that is that's the basis of the follow-up of a chazorah on the neder, Hashem nishbati ba'api. And I guess one could wonder, there's halacha hataras chacham. Right, that's what it is, right? Even if a person has charata, but doesn't go away by itself, right? There's a heter chacham. Right? This pasuk is referring to the shul of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, right? So, right? What's the no heter chacham here? Let's see Rashi. Zok Rashi.
Hashem is the chacham,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Could the chacham be matter for himself? You know,
in general, not as a person that has a bias towards himself, but Hashem is able to detach that the nigiyos. So,
okay, that's possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see Rashi. Nishbati be'api. So Rashi midik omar be'api. From the fact that the pasuk explains the nether, the scenario of the nether, or the shvu, right, the promise. Nishbati biapi, mashma yochul ani lisholov. So the mashmois in that would have a reference that yochul ani lisholov, that I could retract that nether, lisholov, right? It could be asked to be taken off. Why the fisha machmas api? Because it was made because of my anger. V'loy midas miyusheves nishbati. And as if to say that the nether wasn't made with a settled mind.
The question of lishalav is to take back. We have such a.
I mean, it's a lashon of sheila to sheila's chacham, right? That's what it means, right? The point of the sheila is to retract. The little translation of sheila means to ask, right? That's really what you're doing, right? But that term is used when you want to retract something, whether it's a neder or similar kind of things. Let's say you have chveis by which is really based on the same idea. Let's say let's say a truma or something like that, right? To be shoyl, it's used in the context of retracting something.
I thought it was we can ask questions on the basis of the original nedar.
I think in Shas, that's how it's used, right?
Means taking.
No. It's the little translation is ask, mm-hmm. But it's sort of like. It's like requesting more so, right? That's the reference to that. What we mean is that you wanna take it back. That's how it's used in all of these contexts.
Mm-hmm. Just back onto what the Rav said a moment ago about can you be meshev on your own nether? So perhaps depending on what the makor is. would determine that. In other words, if we have, let's say, we have one makor that it says dvaro, and but someone else you can't. So were that to be the makor, so then in hachinami a neder wouldn't be able. But if you learn it from this pasuk, so then even though practically you can't, because maybe like what Daniel said is that a human isn't able to, but inherently, in other words, if this is the makor, so then that explains what the getter of the hataras nedarim is that were you to have the unbiasedness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then the theory would be that one could.
Okay, possibly.
I don't know the basis of the chiluk between Gimel Hedyatos and a Chacham, but also if it's also based on was there a pasuk that teaches us that chiluk, or if it's just based on what we understand, so that just the same thing, that if the gather would be you need to have some sort of clarity without negio, so Hashem could do it for himself and anybody else can't, but then you also need a chacham for somebody else has a lot of clarity on himself, but Hedyotos won't.
I don't know, I have to investigate that's the basis of the difference of the now this is also an interesting point. If we're talking about a shul of the Rebbe Shlom, so the concept of nishpati ve'api, which Rashi tells us that's with a das mishaves or without a das mishaves, it's also hard to relate to the Rebbe Shlom as far as that's concerned. Whatever af means by the Rebbe Shlom, but definitely it's not something which affects his clarity. So if what the Gemara is saying over here is that it's all the Nishpati Ba'api is given for us, in our context, right? But not as if to say that was so by the Rebbe Shlom. So that's a basis. Yesh Luma Mikan, we can learn from over here, if this pasuk is expressing Nishpati Ba'api, that the anger has an effect on the nether. Geishul mekan shamaytzi pesach lenidroi. If someone can find an opening, at this end, the Gemara in the Dorm uses this nusach, a pesach, an opening, because like we're saying, I mentioned before, that's the concept of charota, to be matter without anything that might not be so simple to do. It's the concept of a pesach to say leimar loyladas kenodarti. I didn't make the nether with this understanding, with this state of mind. Sheikreni dover ze shani roy, that it should happen to me what I see now. Habol yadei nidri, that my name that brought me to this situation. Dematirin loy. Someone who makes a nether without a clear mind, so that means that he's not able to take the full. What could possibly happen, and where his nether could take him, the restriction. He had a clear mind, wasn't able to realize all the follow ups. What it be? That's a basis for a charota. Right? I didn't make the nether with the understanding, with the clarity that the following could happen. And it'll reframe me, even in this situation. That's the idea of nishpati be'api, right? That's what Yeshua says. That's what we see in the nishpati be'api. If there wasn't a basis of HaTorah, then nishpati be'api, af wouldn't have any bearing on a nether.
It doesn't seem like much of a nether. You can easily just walk away from it.
So like we're saying, there has to be a basis. Generally, has to be a basis for a charata, right? That's what it is. And what? So you can't just do it on yourself. Right? And we'll see about this. But the idea is that if a person can find an opening, right, that's what it is. Then there's a power for the chacham to be matter. But it's not something that a person can do on his own. Right, that this is something which we'll see could lead to mistakes. That a person can get the feeling that, you know, that neder is not so binding. It is binding. It happens to be that there's a way to unbind yourself if you do with the proper conditions. So, it's true that most of the time you can get out of it, but you have to do it right. If you don't do it right, then it could be a big problem. Let's see, something more vital to the next man, Omar. Omar Bihumar Shmu. I'm sorry. Yet. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. No, I skipped something. Yeah. Rav Yitzchak Oimer. Yesh lam amash yismu choshnemer kol nediv leiv. Another pasuk. This is a pasuk. Rashi says. Pasuk in the Torah. It says there. Here's something more later. It's a pasuk. Kol nediv leiv. Right, this is referring to the Nidvas HaMishkan. They bought the different items that they donated for the Mishkan. So the pasuk refers to over here Nediv Lev. The donations. Now the more understands that this donations comes through an obligation, Nediv Lev. That means that this is before one actually gives it, right? Once you give it, right? But there's a person makes it like a pledge, right? That's such a thing, right? That's what the Nediv Lev is referring to. And the pasuk says over here Nediv Lev. Rashi says as follows: Kol Nediv Lev Heviu, right? Rashi over here gives us the next part of the pasuk. Nediv Lev Heviu. Im oideno liboy noidvoy olov, then yaviu. If that feeling of that Rashi adds this heviu as part of the drosha, the heviu, the obligation to bring it, is only as long as the nediv lev exists. The imischaret then yatiruloi. So kol nediv lev heviu, the drosha over here is that the obligation to follow through is only if a person is still in the state of nediv lev. But if something has changed and he has charota, he regrets the obligation that he made for himself, then there's a basis, then on that you don't necessarily have the heviu. Right? There's a way to be matirit, right? That's the basis of the heter chochem. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Oimer. Says the Gemara, Chananya ben Achi Yehoshua says, Yesh lam amash yismuchu shem anishpati vakeyem anishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. The pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk is, Nishpati vakeyem, I made a promise. Now, there's taka two things. So shvua and a neder, and the mitzvah. When we learn Maseches Nedarim, we'll find out the different rules of these things. That's what we see. These two lashonis are interchangeable. In a general sense, they're interchangeable, but there are definitely specific halachas about them. Nishpati, I made a shvua to obligate myself, va'ak hayemo, and I followed through. Rashi says as follows. Nishpat v'akeyem lishpor mishpatei tzidkecha. To guard, to fulfill the mishpatim, the mitzvahs, your righteous mitzvahs. Midrama v'akeyemo, Rashi tells us that the drosh is as follows. Where do we see in this a source for hatoras and dorim, timater and eder, or shvur? Midrama v'akeyem, in fact, the pasuk speaks out Bakayema, and I fulfilled it. Mechlal the imrotz shloy lekayim matirin loy. The pasuk is nishpati Bakayema. So, you know, the assumption over here seems to be that to do something wrong, right? Nishbati and not akayema, right? You know, to not be mekayim a neder when the neder obligates a person and a person, and he's not, and the Ramel is not following through, that's not an option over here. So if that's not an option and we're talking about doing things properly, so why is he speaking Nishpati Vakayemu? Right, so the reference to that is that there is a possible to be Mishmati without a Kayemu, right? Of course, without being over anything. And so that's the reference over here, that there is such a possibility of a Nishpati which is not gonna obligate a person to the Akayim to fulfill it. That would refer to the concept of being matter. Mechlal de imrota shaloi lekayim, if he didn't have the will of being mekayim materially, there's a basis, there are guidelines which you'd be able to get to be matter it. Okay, so these are all tanoim over here. There's a brisa of tanoim, which seem to be that they're arguing on the Tana of our Mishnah, and they are giving a basis where the Tana of our Mishnah says that there is no basis in the Torah. Right? It's solely a halachah Moshe Mitzrayim. Omar Huda Omar Shmuel. Now the Gemara continues. This is Shmuel who's an Amor. Right? And this Gemara over here seems to why. Echo or Gemara that we had in Maseches Megillah. If I was there, right, when the Tanoim many years ago discussed this, I would have told him, "Did I have something better, a better source than yours?" The pasuk in the Torah, "Lo yachel dvoroi." This is the lav that the Torah says when a person makes a neder. So he should not, he's not allowed to nullify his word by not adhering to what he obligated himself. Lo yachel devora, he can't. Hu ene moichel, avachem moichelin loy. There will be a mashmois, the pasuk would seem to give a mashmois. It would sound like for the pasuk that lo yachal dvorei, he himself, avla achirim moichin loy, through others, for others, his word could be put aside. Amar Rava, l'kulu beis lehu pirachal avar midi Shmuel. Rava says that all of the sources that the Tanoim, the previous Tanoim brought, Islahu pircha. That is a pircha, lashon of pircha nimora, is that we could ask on it and we could contend whether it's a basis or not. Islahu pircha. We have a question on it, a strong question on it. The Bar Mitzvah Shmuel asks the pircha, except for Shmuel. Shmuel's is something that there's nothing to ask on, and therefore his source is better. And the Gemara enumerates. Dimitri Blazer, Dilmok Rabbi Yehuda. The original Joshua, the first Joshua, the Gemara says, the Kiafli, the double Kiafli, a second Kiafli, which seems to be extra, and the Gemara was using that for a basis of undoing the Isra that was created with the first Kiafli. So the Gemara says, no, maybe the Kiafli is coming to tell me something else. Dilmok Rabbi Yehuda, Shom and Bishur Mirtar from the Sanya. Right, we'll see Rashi's printer is referring to a specific case that neither of the two is a nazir. Because being that naziris, there's a condition in naziris, there's a certain clarity is necessary. So that explains why, in the case that we'll see in a moment, Neither person becomes a nazir. Let's see the Rashi. So Rashi, this is the last narrow line. Imid Rabbi Lezer, the Dorsha Flo Yisei Rosam. As far as his drasha, that's not such a strong basis for het in a dorm, because there's a different way to use that. Right? There's tarfim use of something else. Zimotan tarfim also. Einechem hem nazir. Now Rashi explains what's the case that we're talking about over. Shnayim shoy yoshim, two people are sitting down. Bo echel lefneim, one person comes in front of him. Omar echel harini nozer shezeh habo etzleinu nozer. Right, two people sitting down. another person comes by, and of the two people that are sinning, one tells the next person, the Harinu Nazir Shezeh Habo Etzleinu Nazirhu. That basically what he's saying is that I am obligating myself, I'm a Kabbal Nazirus, if that person's a Nazir. Sounds like they're sure, right? And they're really sort of like backing their feelings on whether that person's a nozer or not. So the first person says that I'm so sure that he's a nozer that I'm obligating myself with zehirus to back that, with nazirus to back that. And of a chaver omer harei nozer she'ein a nozer. So basically, what's happening over here is that, you know, He is a nazir, is not a nazir. So one of the two should become a nazir. And to end that, we clarify what it is. It's either one way or the other. Ain't echam hen nazir. None of them are nazir. Even though that, you know, he is or he isn't, and therefore according to the conditions that one of the two gave, he should be a nazir. Nevertheless, not neither is a nazir. Fishel and in nazirus liyos nazir beklia v'sofig. The reason for that is shlo nitin and nazirus that the parasha of nazirus the din of the neder nazirus was not given that a person could become a nazir if beklia v'sofig something which is hanging which is not clear. It means at the time that they said it wasn't clear what it is. It'll first be clarified at a later date. Ela b'aflo. You need to have aflo v'adoyes mufureshen. So that's what this aflo over here is referring to. Clarity. Naziris can only be chal with clarity at the time when a person is obligating himself. There has to be clarity as to whether he is a nazir or not. See, even though in truth the condition that he was mekabel and naziris really came through, but since it was not clear at the time, so it's lacking in that clarity that the pasuk of Haflo is requiring. So therefore, that makes sense. So therefore, this second Haflo is not coming to tell me not a source for a HaTorah. It's, on the contrary, it's a condition for the original Isser that a person creates. Okay, so that's the Pirch the Mor says from the first Joshua of Blessed. Mor continues, the Mor says, even Rabbi Yeshua's Joshua was from Asher Nishbati Be'api, Dilma Hochi Ka'omar. Maybe what the pasuk is coming to say is as follows: Be'api Nishbati V'loy Hadar Nabi. True that the pasuk is attaching anger with the nether, but what is the point? Is the Mor originally is understanding that it has an effect on the validity of the nether. And since it's ba'apis, that's a basis for a heter. And that more than saying that maybe on the contrary, that what the pasuk is just coming to say is that the nether was made with a very strong conviction. That's what it means. Ash and ishbati ba'api. V'loy hadar nabi. I am not going to change my mind. You had down to be well, right, so you know what that means. According to this, you regardless can't change your mind. Right? The idea is that at this point we're saying that there's no head in the door, right? That's what we're coming to say, right? So what do we mean? V'lo hadarno be, right? Hashem nishbat me happy. The pasuk is saying it's a strong never. V'lo hadarno be. I'm not going to change my mind.
What's the question?
What is the possible saying? I'm not going to change my mind. I think that's what those words mean. Mm-hmm. At this point, we're going that there's no way of. I'm trying to say there really is no source. Really, as far as this is concerned, that you can't. Because we're trying to take away the mashmois of a het and nidorim from over here. So Hashem nishbat ebi'api. It's a strong nether. Now the Gemara itself is saying such a thing as lehadarnabi, which I think means that I'm not going to change my mind. could you change your mind? I mean, at this point, we're saying a neder, you can't, once you made it, you can't make it. Right?
So similar to like nishbati ve'akeima, you know, that the second word would sound like it's extra, that you can derish it, you know.
Well, I mean, so we're changing the ba'api over here, right? But the way the Gemara continues on, that the connotation is like hadarnabi. That's what we need to know what that means. What's the whole point in the Gemara is that one can't take back a neder. That's what we're thinking as far as this is concerned. Right, like hadarnabi. Right, unless what this means is something else. That you know, conditional in the first place, right, which is not based on a heter. And if a person, if someone makes neder in the first place and he explicitly leaves an opening for himself, so that you don't need a hataras neder for that. That means it's conditional. So maybe that's what this refers to. But it's not.
So the Rebbe explain that again. I didn't follow.
Because if a person explicitly makes a nether with conditions,
that's not a nether.
What?
That's not a nether, right?
That's not a nether based on what?
Because you have all these built-in ways out of it. That's not a complete.
Well, a person probably could create guidelines in his obligation, and you know, according to whatever is within the perimeters, right? And he could do that. So that's what I was offering over here. That there's when we're talking about a heter, we're talking about something that in the original nether was made without any conditions. So therefore, the nether itself would have been fully inclusive, and that's the idea of heter, is to create a heter now, which was not built in. Now you need a heter chacham for that.
I guess it depends on the type of condition that we're talking about. If it's a condition that if I don't feel up to it, I don't have to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Okay. Right. So right. That's probably not the. Could be right. But so what we're offering over here is that there's two things. If the nether was made in full, without any stipulations, or any conditions and limitations, so that's what we need the heter chacham for that. But if the nether was made initially with stipulations and conditions, so you know that's how it was set up in the first place. So it's not necessary to have a heter chacham for that. So maybe that's what this means over here. The v'loy hadarna bi means that, being that it was made nishpati ba'api, it was a decisive shavuah without any conditions, right? Maybe that's how to understand it, right? So the basis of hadarna bi would be because of an exclusion which was created in the original onset of the nether, which wouldn't require a heter chacham. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says, that this source of Nishpati Be'api, one could understand it differently.
I guess maybe a small support for that, maybe just definition of Be'api, is that this is after Chet Maraglim, so there are different types of Shavuah, some that could be left with an opening because it's a warning, it's before something happened, and this is seemingly a response to Chet Maraglim, that they did something wrong, and therefore it's a shvuah of a punishment, and that's so, or the way we might refer to a shvuah as a punishment as opposed to a warning and be careful, and or I promise to do this for myself and for the future, but if it's a response, so that's referred to as nishpati v'api. It may not always be the case, but at least over here.
So, but if you hear that this is a support to how what the Gemara is saying now,
to how Rebbe was just explaining that. Playing that, just meaning what it means. Nishbati ba'api. It's a shvua that I took. Not, you know, I not to encourage somebody or to warn somebody for the future, but it was a shvua that I made in wrath in response to a chait, the chait
mm-hmm.
Maraglim.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fine. Very good. Very good. Let's see. Zot Gemara. The Gemara continues. The next source that the Gemara brought. He Imi Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara's base of Yitzchak was Kol Nidiv Leiv. That was that pasuk. Kol Nidiv Leiv Heviu. Zogt Gemara, Idem Yitzchak Dim Lafukum De Shmuel. Toma Shmuel Gomer Beli Betzor Shiyetzi Bisfosov. Let's hear that again. That this pasuk talks about a nediv leiv, which would have a mashmois that there's a nedava, an obligation through leiv, just with making that commitment in one's heart without expressing it. So says the Gemara that maybe that's what it's coming for. Right? That's the idea of Nediv Leiv. Not like we're saying that a person still has to be in the same state of Nediv Leiv for the obligation to hold, otherwise he could undo it. No, maybe not. And this is a source for a person obligating himself through a Gomar Baliba, even without being Maitzi Bisfosim. And that will be, says the Gemara, Lafukim Midu Shmuel, that will be different, that will be arguing on that of what Shmuel says. Shmuel says that that's not sufficient to obligate a person. The fact that you know he decided in his heart and his mind that he wants to do something. Nevertheless, a person has to express it in words. And this pasuk would be saying, that's what Gemara is saying. That's what this pasuk would be saying.
Is this arguing on Shmuel, or is it making an exception within the din of Shmuel?
I mean, this would be arguing on Shmuel. I mean, Tosafot talks about whether this din, whether Shmuel holds halacha in all scenarios. Mm-hmm. Right? There could be other scenarios that Shmuel agrees, right? But we have sources that that could be his chayv as a belave. But this would be saying that even by Stam Nedorim, Shmuel says that you have to be Maitzi Bisfosov, this would be arguing saying that a person could obligate himself even without that.
So then it's very interesting that Shmuel's pircha on this Tana is against himself.
Shmuel's pircha. Who's making the pirchas over here?
Shmuel, I don't know. Shmuel says that mine is better than all of yours, and the Gemara, I guess, supports that statement by saying maybe halacha is not like Shmuel over here.
Ah, okay. Okay, that's a point. Shmuel, let's say l'shita, say you wouldn't have this pircha. Yeah, is that the understanding of the Gemara that when Shmuel says mine is better than yours, he was thinking about these pirchas, or he just felt that it was a stronger reference. Right. And is Rava explaining what Shmuel meant when Rava says l'kul islu pircha l'varmi de Shmuel, right? It doesn't sound like he's explaining what Shmuel says. It sounds like Shmuel says that I have a stronger basis, right? You know, even if those other ones we're not gonna ask a pircha on it, but mine is a better basis. And then on Rava's comments a step further, that as a matter of fact, you know, when you thinking about Pirchas, Pirchas could take off those, and Shmuel will be withstanding. Now you're right that you know if as far as the Pirchas is concerned, then I mean Shmuel probably is not going to want to Shmuel Shitosa, you know, not to use that Pircha. To use that pircha,
the way Rava seems to understand the Gemara here and the Megillah,
yeah,
talking about the Esther and Rit with the Ruach Kodesh,
it
seems to be that Rava is explaining why, because a lot of these opinions, a lot of these the Tanaim are really fine. It's just that there's another opinion out there. That's a little problematic. So there's a you know a ktas pircha on some of them, but some of them are you know individually fine. If you hold like this midrash, then maybe not. If you hold like this midrash, maybe not. But it seems the way I understood it is that Rava is saying he's explaining why Shmuel is so great and why Shmuel is like a charifta because he has this you know there's seems that he's saying there's no questions on him, which.
Right. That's what he's doing. I'm just wondering whether that was Shmuel's original intention or Rava's taking it like to the next level. Right? And Rava's saying, right?
That's at the very least, it's a question on Rava.
What?
And at the very least, it's a question on Rava, right? Rava,
that what?
Because Rava understands the Gemara seemingly that Shmuel interpreting Shmuel's statement as everybody else has a pircha and I don't. That's what, right.
Is that yeah,
what?
But we don't know as far as this halacha of Shmuel of Tosheis Bisfosel. We don't know Rava's take on that, right? That's it happens to be Shmuel, but you know he's not. You know we're not right now. We're talking about the halacha rather than the person, right?
Well, he might have like an independently.
Yeah, right.
Rava might be coming independently to think that. Yeah, I also. Think Shmuel's is good because of this, but not that he's saying that Shmuel's reason why he said it is because of that.
Now, you see, even with all this given and said, it doesn't. I don't think necessarily that at the end of the day they don't have to agree with each other, right? We're just talking about you know as a source. If this had to be the original source, so, but at the end of the day, right, now that we do have a source for that, right, so maybe now this could be true.
Sorry.
That means that what this pasuk is, we could be taking out of this. You know, there's no reason anymore to fend off this halacha. Right, the Gemara is just discussing that if we didn't have any other source and we're just coming from this source, so we could have understood it differently. Maybe you know Shulchan Aruch would have been different, but today that we do have a source for this, so maybe we could still understand the Gemara like that. We could understand this pasuk like that. Now, this last pasuk over here. Of Nediv Lev. At the end of the day, the Nediv Lev Taka could tell us this idea that you had, you know, the what the pasuk is saying. It's not going to be a source, but once there is such a halacha, let's say from Layachal Dvora, right? So the Nediv Lev is true. That could mean that. So the Gemara is just discussing that if I had to come from here. Would this be a basis? No, maybe I would have developed a halacha, right? Not like Shmuel. But at the end of the day, now that this halacha that I'm dealing with is a true halacha, so no, I'm not gonna develop this a different halacha from over here. No, this pasuk, I don't think this pasuk is like an extra pasuk over here in Div Lev that we have to, you know, that we have to learn something from. The question is, what is it, the mashmoyis of the pasuk? Mm-hmm. So the more is saying that if you know, I didn't have any other sources and wanted to come from this source, so, you know, one could contend and think that maybe this pasuk is telling me, come and tell me that the idea of that you don't have to be gomer v'sfasav, right? You could be mechayev yourself, just with Gomar Beliboy itself, and that would tackle would be, and if that was true, that would come out not like Shmuel. But at the end of the day, that there is such a halacha of Charata, So that could be the understanding of this pasuk, right? That's what this pasuk. That's, you know, I'm not saying if it's not a, if, I don't, if this pasuk is not extra, right? So that could be, it could be the mashmois of Nedir Lev could be for this idea, because it's true today. It's true, right? Today is true that the concept of HaTorah is true. So therefore that's what this pasuk is saying, Nedir Lev. That's true. Right, that's what we mean to say. So this Gemara is just dealing with that if this was the only source, so then one could understand things differently, and then maybe what that would mean is that, you know, Shulchan Aruch would have a different halacha at that point. But once we produced a source for Heter Chacham, so that's how we would understand this pasuk.
When
right?
Do we say Dvarim Shevelevein and Dvarim?
When do we say it? Alibi de emes. So there's you have that. There's two, at least two things. You know, so you have when a person making a transaction, as the Gemara talks about dvarim shebelev. Person makes a transaction. So unless it's something which is very obvious. Then the Gemara says that, you know, so let's say a person is making a sale, but the Gemara talks about such a thing, a person that he's planning on moving, right? And the basis of a sale is because he's, you know, going to a different place, right? And then it falls through. But he didn't stipulate that he was making the sale because of that, right? The Gemara talks about Dvarim Shebelev, such a thing like that, right? So that's as far as a transaction is concerned. Then you have in the Dorim, you also have such a concept. Certain situations are also considered Dvarim Shebelev. Person meant only to ask on himself, you know, this type, something like that, right? So there's also a concept of Dvarim Shebelev. But we're talking about something else right now over here, right? We're talking about that the obligation itself is not expressed. Right? That is halacha. It's the Dvarim Shebelev they were talking about when the transaction or the neder, whatever it is being made clearly. The stipulation or the condition is Dvarim Shebelev, that's not spoken out. Even though, you know, maybe there's some degree of an assumption concerning that. But unless it's clear, the Gemara calls Beliba Belev Kol Adam, then from the fact that it wasn't stipulated, even though it was, maybe there's some degree of assuming that's what he meant, but if he didn't speak it out, that's called that's Dvarim Shebelev. But that's talking about expressing a condition, a stipulation in what you're doing. We're talking about over here that the whole hischaivus, the whole obligation, is being done without explicit expression. That's what we're talking about.
Sometimes also somebody could say words, however, if you look at the context, it's obvious that that's not what he meant, or...
Okay, right. That's true also, even when you do say words, right? But, you know, what these words mean, right, also, right. What,
He might have been repeating what somebody else said, and if you take that little video clip of him saying it, it looks like that's what he's saying, you know?
right. Mm-hmm. Right, so that definitely also, context is very important.
So you would say, Kolshkin, that if the Tanoim are not anything because they're Shebelev, so the Iker Neder itself is nothing? I mean, and obviously there is a Shita there also, like.
Well, see, I mean, the difference, if we needed to explain the difference, is as follows. You see, because when someone does express something, and the conditions and stipulations of that are not similarly expressed, right? So that's why they wouldn't mean anything, right? Because there's like a contradiction over here. You said one thing, and you know, and you expressed that, and the condition that you're thinking in your mind, you didn't express. So in order, so that's what we have, you know, similar idea of Chais Machshov, Moitz Mi'an Maisa, these kind of things, right? According to the level of obligation, So the stipulations, that obligation, have to be also expressed on the same level. Whereas, let's say, if you're talking about, you know, in the first place, that the whole obligation is being done, that's, maybe that could be done. Right. Okay, one more then. Yeah, even midichanani ben achi Rabbi Yeshua dilmakreb gidol amarav. At this last one, the Gemara said, "Nishpati v'akayemu." Says the Gemara that the truth is that there is a different halach that we learn from over here. Minayin shenishbon lekayim samitzvah. Gemara tells us, "Minayin? How do we know shenishbon lekayim samitzvah?" Right, we'll see in a minute what exactly this means. How do we know that one makes a shvua to obligate himself to fulfill, to follow through a mitzvah? Shenema nishpati v'akhayema lishmor mishpatei tzidkechum. This positive saying, nishpati v'akhayema, what? Lishmor mishpatei tzidkechum. We're talking about something which is mishpatei tzidkechum, which is a mitzvah. And the positive makes a reference to making a shvua to be mekayim, something that someone is regardless obligated. Now, the Gemara, Gemara Nedarim brings this, and the issue over here is because there's an idea, concept of generally, to make a shvua on something that a person is already obligated, and the Gemara calls that's like a shvua al shvua, the term that the Gemara uses, that a person is mushba va'imid. Right? When a person was, in Klal Yisrael, was mekabel Torah on Har Sinai, so there was that obligation was on the level of a shvua, and a person, you know, can't make a double shvua on himself. So that's what the Gemara talks about over there, that in general, if a person makes a shvua l'kayim es ha-mitzvah, so that shvua l'chor really shouldn't work. Now, so therefore, what is this saying over here? What are we saying over here? So look what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Shenishboyim l'kayim ha-mitzvah." Kloimer mitzvah shehe adam nishba lekayim mitzvah. Rashi seems to say like this, that we learn from this pasuk that it's a mitzvah, it's a positive thing, person should do the following. Mitzvah shehe adam nishba lekayim mitzvah. Kedei sheyemar v'yizaz lekayim. And what that accomplishes is that it gives him the additional inspiration. And there's a difference whether it's a mitzvah from the Torah, or it's my personal obligation, my personal commitment. However, the question is that, like I mentioned before, if such a shvua doesn't work, so like, what value does it have?
There are situations when people can be potter from a mitzvah if they're doing a different mitzvah, and maybe then making this would make one mitzvah stronger than the other one. Interesting.
Okay. That's a good point. I can think about that. Right.
Isn't he saying that it does work?
Okay. So this is. I mean, it would seem like that, right? And this is really a question in the Mephoshim over here. How this works over here, right? And if it does work, so. You know, it would seem, see, because we have sources that a person can't make a shvua on something that he's already obligated for.
Isn't that more? I mean, generally we use that in the context that you can't make a shvua kineged the Torah. Right?
So we have both ways, right? We have both ways, and the Mephoshim talk about what this is. Does this have the chashivas of a regular neder, or maybe it really doesn't? Right? We'll see. you know, it's really maybe not as binding. Right? It seems to be that, you know, that the surim, that all the surim that you have in the Dharma, you're not going to have over here. Right? The shaila is, what is there an Isser Dairaisa over here? See, like, if you look in Taisus over here, Taisus says, the Kayim Mitzvah. Taisus says, maybe with this Hago over here, right? Lekai mitzvah. Taisa says the shori lahaski shem shemayim k'tel zuzi nafshe. Right? But Taisa says that what this pasuk is saying is that in the making of a shvua, so a person uses the shem Hashem, so we're being matir him to use the shem Hashem lezuzi nafshe. That's really what this gemara is saying over here. So maybe you know the validity of a shvua it's not going to have, but if a person expresses himself in this way, it's an obligation. It's mizaris himself. That's what it is, right? So you're not bound necessarily with the hilchas shvua, but there is some degree of zeres that he's mizaris himself. And the chiddush over here is Taisa says is that the person can be maskei shem shemayim for that. That's considered a valid reason. To be master shem shemayim, you know, for not a valid reason, person not allowed to do. This is considered a valid reason in order to be mizar himself, not to strengthen himself and to get himself going to be mekayem a mitzvah. That's what Tosef says. Rashi says mitzvah, right? Mitzvah nishpat temit. It's a mitzvah to do that. Kidei lemaher. Mitzvah to do that, but as far as whether such a shvuah is actually chal, so I think that's clear that it's not, definitely not chal with the full gedorim of a regular shvuah. That the sources that person shvuah is not chal the kaim is a mitzvah, and this is a really a shaila in the achronim. Whether there's any deraisa dika chalois that's chal.
Can we say it's independent and not say it's mushba v'im? In other words, there's no mitzvah. There is kantos rizus, but I'm not the chuyv to mizaris, and now I'm making a shvua to do this mitzvah as rizus. Or you could look at it a little differently. You could say I don't have a mitzvah to do this mitzvah per se at this very moment, but I want to make myself do it. I want to motivate myself to do that mitzvah. Meila, I'm making a shvua, then I do the mitzvah this oifen at this very time. So it's not mushba v'imid from Har Sinai, you have to do this mitzvah at this very time. So it's not shvua chal shvua. So therefore, it should have a dharma of shvua.
Mm-hmm. So you have to look at the Gemara in the Dorm, and the Gemara over there, if I'm not mistaken, is using this specifically as far as limud ha-Torah, and that gets a little more difficult for your scenario, right? Right. If it was stam a mitzvah, you know that maybe you didn't have to do it now, wherever it is, right? You have some kind of leeway, so then you could think like you're saying that, you know, concerning what the mitzvah itself is not obligating me, I would have some leeway. So, you know, maybe that's what I'm mechayev myself for.
It could be the type of limud, no? Where you're going to learn, what you're going to learn, with what Asmada and Iyun and.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so look at that Gemara and you'll see whether you could say this. Right?
I don't understand how Tosfos answered Rebbe's question. I thought it sounds like it just goes back that I mean according to the. Right, the halachos of shvuos in the Dharm, you're not allowed to swear about doing a mitzvah. And Tosfos is just saying
not that you're not allowed. We're talking about whether such a shvuah is obligates one. Right? That's what we're talking about right now. There's another idea that if the shvuah it doesn't obligate, then the shame that you said is you know it's the shvu is a shvu vatol, or it could be right things like that. But we're, our question was that an initial thing that what's he accomplishing, right? What's he accomplishing? Is a shvua actually chalas? I'm just wondering what I see from Rashi and Taisus over here that we're not common to say that the shvua is chal. That's not the point. I see that they're talking about something other than that, and therefore maybe in a chanami the shvua is not really chal, right? It's it's just cause some kind of zirus. I don't know, it's when a person makes an obligation, the person not necessarily making a shua, right? The person's making a personal commitment, that's mizaris himself. So that's what we will learn from this pasuk over here, that even though it's taka not chal, but on the other hand, it's a person there's no isser in what he's doing. Because there's a purpose. There is a purpose for what he's doing. Right? Whenever we talk about a shua shav, because it's purposeless, right? That's what it is. But over here, this is not purposeless because you have the concept of zruzin apshe.
So, is it necessary for someone to make kabbalah for a good thing, for any davar toiv? Is it necessary for a person to say blina there?
A person says b'li neder because of the concern of not following through, right? That's where that comes in, right? But not he's not doing it because of enish bar nahal mitzvahs. I don't think that's why people do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That practice came because a person doesn't, whatever level. Right, if it would be a nether, so then he'd have a harder time, if things don't work out.
I thought we're saying that it's not really chal anyways. That's why I'm wondering if it's not.
It's what?
The whole concept of kabbalah.
So you want to know? Well, yeah.
It sounds like it's a good thing to make kabbalah, but you have to be careful with it at the same time. But according to what we're saying now, it seems like it's. You're much better than anyways. You're not.
So on the level of a neder, that could be that's not chal, but there still is something, an obligation. Person obligated on himself to follow through what he said, even if it's not part of this halacha over here.
So if we neder there would not be such a real blee neder like a
shayla
of real
dora.
That's
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, again, there's a difference between shvu and nether.
Right? I haven't gotten there yet.
What?
A few more years.
Yeah, so, right? I mean, we say that ain't ishbayim, right? Right? But do we say by nederim that...
nether.
So the achalukim, right? The achalukim as far as that's concerned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, but the difference of the nature of a neder and a shvua, that there are differences. Right, neder is really you're creating an isser. Shvua could be an obligation to do. Right, so that would be if you're already obligated. So either you're if you're making shvua not doing mitzvah, you're going directly against it, or you're obligating yourself to something that you're already obligated for. In a neder, it's true, that has different gedorim.
Right. On the Rav's diach, so I see in Tosfos why the Rav is saying that it's not chal, but how does the Rav see in Rashi that it's not chal?
See, what I meant to say was that I see that the point is not to say that you would have thought it's not chal, yechal. That's what I'm saying. I see over here. I see that we're discussing a different level, mitzvah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mutter, right? That's what I see. Right. So that's what I'm saying. Therefore, it's possible that takanachal, because that's not what we're coming to say over here.
Not a result. It's
that's not the point. That's not right. That's not that point that we're saying over here. Right. The chiddush over here is something other than that. And if that's so then. Maybe really not. If we could understand that there's some kind of accomplishment of zuzi nafshi even without an neder minchal, right? Some kind of personal commitment, right? Which is worth something, which gives a person a stronger push, so fine. That's what we mean over here. So then why are we telling you over here? Mitzvah, or our taste says, Shem Shemayim, that's what we're to do here. Oh. Alright, so let's just finish off this Gemara over here. El Dishmul Les Lepircham. If you have one sharp pepper, it's better. Right? If you have a whole basket full of melons, right? It's possibly have one small little thing which is better. Right? That's the application over here. Now, I just wanted to mention like this. You know, we started off over here talking about that. What does the Mishnah mean? The poruchim ba'avir, poruchim ba'avir. Right? We see that the Mishnah is saying poruchim ba'avir, that there is no basis, and that the Tanoim are saying that there is, and Shmuel himself is also saying that there is. Right? So does that coincide with the Mishnah or not? It was sound from the Brayso that they're coming to argue on it. And therefore, Shmuel, by the same token, really, he should be really saying something not like the Tana, which really, you know, raises a question, like, you know, discussed the other week. Right? You know, could Shmuel argue on the Tana? Tana says there isn't. Like, you know,
he has to know
what
he has to know to stand with him. They're just using it
in a sword. Right. So, I mean, you, it's a little hard to, I mean, okay.
What kind of smach? Just what's the smach?
Okay, passively. So I just want to say it like this. There's a Ramban over here in Parshas Matas, that this is where the Parshas Nedarim is, and the Ramban says as follows. In the Torah, the Torah is not explicitly mentioned. It's a loch mishnei. Toloi hakos of b'chut hasayra. The Torah hangs the source b'chut hasayra on a here. Kimoi she'omru the Gemara in Chagiga. Hetan nedarim poruchim ba'avir. So it's interesting that, you know, he's using the shyness, and then he says, "Ela sharam was like kosel lo yachal dvorei." Right? He refers to Shmuel's Joshua. Right? Kloima. Yeah. So this is just a little. A little confusing over here, but this is, right, you know, he's bringing, right, it would sound like that this, so the poruchos ba'avir that the Mishnah says is not, we don't mean to say something different than the second part of the Mishnah, which, right, when Rabban talks, right, he talks of tol v'sar, right, and, you know, he brings Shmuel, which is interesting, right, because I'm asking, Shmuel seems to be part of what the Gemara is saying, which seems to be arguing. Atana says that ain't lehem amal yishchunz. All these tanoim say that yesh amal yismichu, right? And Shmuel's part of that. And the Ramban, when he explains this, he seems to be that the walk away from the Gemara is that it's not a contradiction to the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah, the poruchos ba'avir. That's, you know, that just means that it's a very, very slight basis. And but there could be a basis, like Shmuel says. It's not a contradiction. Not a contradiction to the Gemara. Right, so just leave all you off with this ha'orah to think. You know, how do you learn the Gemara that Shmuel ends up being an explanation of the Mishnah itself? Right, what did you see about this?
Rashi in the Mishnah says, "Hetan Dar Prah Ma'avir." He says,
"Ma'at Remes." Ma'at Remes. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm sorry, I skipped that Rashi. Yeah. Right, that's it. I meant to point that out. Rashi also seems to say, so then when we learn the Mishnah, we're saying the Mashmoy's Mishnah sounds like there are a few different categories. You have Perech Ba'avir, then you have, you know, Tol B'Saira, and then you have Yesha Ma'yismuchu. Right, so we're just trying to figure out what these Lushainis are. And we pointed out even that the Lushainis of the Bryce are Yesha Ma'yismuchu sounds like category number 3 of the Mishnah, which is like a strong basis. Right, so the Lushainis over here are seems to be not so consistent exactly what that means, right? Because, you know, definitely, and that much Ramban is saying that it's a chod hasayra, even what Shmuel is saying. It's not the same idea like when the Mishnah says later, that group of halachas over here.
Is the last line of the Mishnah, Vehein Hein Gufei Torah, I know Rashi tells us, we'll get to that. But is that saying everything in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Okay, so then it really doesn't, the distinction doesn't matter too much at the end of the day, right? With the Gemara, I mean, Rebbe pointed out also that you know, we use Hataras Nedarim as opposed to something like that's a really good Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Hashanahs or you know, something that's we see nothing in the text of the Chumash that tells us that. But so it's saying that whether you have certain things that aside, just things in the Chumash, certain things that are just through Remez, and certain things where it just says, you know, Kol Malacha Lo Sasu, and then beyond that there's, you know, 39 Malachos and all the details and the whole Masech HaShabbos, and then certain things that the Torah writes about extensively, but really doesn't make a difference. So it's really just a quantity thing, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because Hein Gufei HaTorah.
Right, that's definitely true. That, you know, that the validity and the chashivas of these things is that there is no difference. Mm-hmm. Right. We just want to know that in as much as the Mishnah seems to be setting it up in some sort of way. So what are the different categories? It would look like the Perech Ba'avir that the Mishnah says over there. It really doesn't mean to say that there's necessarily less of a source than category number two. Right. So it's just interesting why the Tana expresses it in two different ways.
Well, it is much less, no? You know, as opposed to the case of Shabbos is just a one prat, it's a prat, not the, in, you know. I mean,
are we talking about, you know, how many halachas? Are we talking about the source, the type of source? The smicha, right? We're talking about the source.
Yeah, the source for all the details. Meaning, if there's so many more details than the Torah leads on with what it says, so that's going to put it into a different category. This the source of how much, you know, how much there is to know about Karbanos and Tuman Tahara. So there are many, many, many psukim in the Torah, of course. How many drashos are there that are against what it says in Tezriya Metzora about Tuman Tahara, that you need Torah Shabbal Peh to understand every single pasuk. But there's so many psukim written about those. Those categories of halacha. Well, Shabbos, it mentions the same basic azara many, many times in the Torah of don't do malacha, and then once it mentions don't light fire. But we know there are 39 malachos and massive Masech Shabbos.
That's true. But the Gemara doesn't say it like that, right? Maybe we could ask it as a question: why didn't the Gemara talk about the malachos? But right, but the Gemara doesn't when the Gemara talks about Hilchos Shabbos. It's very specific about that.
Right.
Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. You know, you're raising a good point, but for some reason the Gemara does not explain it like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let's hold over here for now. And basically, everyone should have a lot of siyata d'shmaya this upcoming week.
Amen. Mm-hmm.